So what are the things, you mentioned arthritis, what are the things that humans get often that are most prevalent in dogs in terms of making them sick, shortening their lives?
Yeah, I mean, cancer's the big one. Particularly bigger dogs tend to die from cancers. Cognitive dysfunction, I think, is another area that's maybe underappreciated a little bit among pet owners, but is very prevalent in older pets. So dementia, canine dementia is a real disease that veterinarians are familiar with. Dogs get a lot of kidney disease, which is also a major killer in people, and heart disease. So I mentioned the vascular component, which you don't see as often in dogs, but many dogs get age-related heart dysfunction. And in fact, in some breeds, it's up to 50 or 60% of the dogs in that breed will die from particular forms of heart disease. So all of the same major killers in people are major killers in old dogs.
So how do you test in dogs? I mean, there are ethical considerations for animals. Yep. What are the things that you can do in dogs that you can't do in dogs?
That you can't do in people, you mean?
I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, I don't. From an ethical perspective, I don't really think that there are a lot of differences. In fact, I very strongly feel that when we're considering sort of clinical interventions in dogs or clinical trials in dogs, we need to think about those kinds of trials the same way we would think about pediatric clinical trials in people's children, at least from an ethical perspective. I think that's the right viewpoint to take. If you wouldn't do this sort of a clinical trial in people, you probably shouldn't be doing it in people's pets. That's my personal viewpoint. But from a practical perspective, especially in the context of aging, pet dogs in particular have some really powerful features. The biggest one being that we can actually do it in a reasonable time frame. So if you think of, we haven't really talked about this, but big dogs age faster than small dogs. So if you have a dog who's in, say, the 50-pound to 70-pound range, most likely the average lifespan for that dog is going to be somewhere in the 10-year range, right? So if we have an intervention that we believe slows the aging process and can be started in middle age, which we now have a couple of those that work quite well in laboratory mammals like mice. If it's safe, you have the potential to actually start that treatment, say, in a 7-year-old dog. And as long as your population is big enough in your clinical trial, you can see a significant change in lifespan in a 5-year time period, which is something we just couldn't do in a reasonable time frame in people, right? There are some tricks that you can try to play to do clinical trials to look at aging or biology of aging in people, but you can't look at really what's the gold standard, which is lifespan. And also in that 5-year time frame, we can ask not only are the dogs living longer, but are they protected from cancer and heart disease and dementia and kidney disease? And I think if they live longer and they're healthier, that's a pretty good indication that you've hit the fundamental biology of aging.
So given human beings' attachment to their dogs, when you do clinical trials, is it easier to find people who will put their dogs forward for experimentation?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I only have an N of 2 at this point. So we've completed one clinical trial and we're in the middle of a second one. And the answer is yes. We have had no problem identifying enough pet owners who've come forward who many cases it's because they want their dog to live longer, and that's completely understandable. Many cases it's because they are interested and intrigued by the science and they want to be citizen scientists. And I think that's another thing that I really appreciate about this particular project is, you know, all of our owners are true citizen scientists. They're helping us collect data, sometime in the form of fecal samples, which we can then analyze for changes in the microbiome. And they're genuinely engaged in the process, which is really neat. All of our studies are placebo controlled and double blind, meaning the owners and I don't know which dogs are getting the treatment and which dogs are on the placebo until the end of the study. And one thing I hadn't really appreciated when we started our first clinical trial was even though the owners knew there was a 50% chance roughly that their dog would be in the placebo group, how upset some of them were when they found out at the end that their dog was in the placebo group, which again, as a pet owner, I understand that sort of emotional response, but it was an interesting and somewhat unexpected aspect of the study. So the answer to your question, though, is that we've had far more people want to participate in our studies than we had space to allow them to participate.
So how quickly are you finding results? Is this a field of study that's moving quickly as opposed to basic biology that's very slow?
Yeah, I mean, it takes, so I think we were fortunate. We've, like, as I mentioned, we completed one veterinary clinical trial. The drug that we're primarily focused on right now is a drug called rapamycin, which my lab has studied for many years, and appears to slow the biological aging process, as I mentioned, in laboratory animals. The first phase was really a safety trial. And again, this goes back to what I talked about earlier, that we really need to think about this the same way you would if this was people's children. And so the number one concern before starting a trial like this is that we're not going to hurt anybody's dog, right? So that was really the goal of the first phase. So the first phase only lasted 10 weeks, and mostly we were looking to make sure we didn't see significant side effects. But we knew going in that in mice, 10 weeks of treatment with, or even 8 weeks of treatment with rapamycin is enough to see improvement in age-related cardiac function as measured by echocardiography, which is, it's like an ultrasound for the heart, so it's non-invasive. So even though safety was our primary consideration, we took echocardiograms of the dogs before and after the 10-week treatment period. And we saw changes very similar to what had been reported in mice, where we saw significant improvement in two of the three measures of left ventricular function that we were looking for. So it was very encouraging that even over a relatively short window, 10 weeks of treatment, that rapamycin was having at least some of the same effects in dogs as had been seen previously in mice. So the second study, which is ongoing now, this is at Texas A&M University, is looking again at cardiac function, but also looking at cognitive function and activity. And that's a year-long study with a six-month treatment window and a six-month follow-up. So we're optimistic at this point that that we'll have, you know, positive indications for at least a couple of age-related functional measures. And then what we call phase three, which is really the study to answer the question, does rapamycin slow aging in dogs? That'll be starting probably early next year, and that'll be a study of 600 dogs, 300 treated, 300 placebo, a five-year study. The dogs will be treated for 3 years, and we'll really find out, does rapamycin increase lifespan and prevent age-related disease and dysfunction in dogs?